surgery, and immediately he received his sight. Here's how you know. And immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the good start we've had in our attempt to worship you. The song service was excellent, not just the songs, but the participation. Father, it is good to be in your house tonight. There's a good spirit here tonight. I don't take that to mean everybody in here is saved. You draw people like this. People invite people to come to meetings like this so they'll hear the truth, so they can respond to the truth and get saved, like several have done already this week. God, I pray for anybody in here tonight that does not know on the authority of the scripture where they'd spend eternity. I pray they wouldn't leave here without getting that nailed down. Now, Lord, for the believers tonight, God, you've filled them with a lot of stuff. You've given me a lot of direction this week, and you bore witness to it. I felt that we've done as good as we can do. And I pray now, God, once again, that you just speak to our hearts. We're here to hear from you and not anybody else. So, Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with all said and done, and we'll be the better for it. Help us to address areas and issues in our life that need spiritual attention. That's what this is about. Draw nigh to you. We have a promise that you'll draw nigh back. What a precious promise that is. I love you tonight, Lord, and I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. In Luke's account, it says some things. It says, verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. In that verse, there are four things tonight that I want to hit on. And number one, it says, immediately he received his sight. Amen. Now, Bartimaeus is blind. I don't recall reading a reference to when that started. I presume probably born that way, born blind all his life. And now he's healed, but he didn't have to begin consultation with an ophthalmologist to come to this place. He didn't have to wait for an okay from his insurance company. How many ever had that? You got an issue and you got to wait and find out if it's going to be covered. Amen. But Bartimaeus didn't have any of that. He didn't even have to wait for a certain disciple to come by 3 days later and lay hands on him like Saul did over in Acts chapter 9. It says immediately he received his sight. Amen. Boy, ponder that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. Amen. Bartimaeus seeing for the first time. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. Amen. To see color for the first time. My wife says it like this when she describes getting saved. She said it was like going from black and white to color. And I'll tell you what, in all my years as a Christian, that's a pretty vivid, easy to understand way to describe it. You know, if black and white's all you got, if black and white's all you know, you're good. But boy, when the lights come on, when the color comes out, and you realize when you're missing, if you're like me, the first thing comes to mind is, I should have did this a long time ago. Amen. So Bartimaeus is seeing color for the first time. Imagine seeing a sunrise, seeing a sunset. Amen. Seeing flowers, seeing trees, seeing a child's face. Wow. I mean, amen. Without the chocolate and stuff. Amen. Listen, Bartimaeus could very well have seen his own child's face for the first time. He may have had a wife and kids. I don't know. Amen. He's out trying to make a living. That's a popular occupation these days. Amen. And I noticed. Amen. Boy, I'm Petrenko in 1604 the other night, maybe last night in the big traffic jam that I was in, and I was here at 28 minutes after 6 tonight. I want you to know. Amen. I promised I'd be early. Amen. And there's a guy walking around the cars like they do, but I mean, it was night. It was dark. I thought, man, I would run over him and not even know. It was dangerous. Bartimaeus and here he is. He's blind. He's been blind. Immediately received his sight. And the first thing, man, The first thing he sees is the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of him. There's a couple gals over in Concord, North Carolina, that are blind, and they would come to our church and they could sing, man. And they'd come and somebody'd drive them up, and they'd get up there, and they had to be helped to get up on the platform, and they'd stand up there and they'd say this. I remember the first time I heard them say, "We feel sorry for you folks, you sighted folks." And everybody's, you know, feeling bad for them. And they said, "The first person we'll ever see is Jesus Christ." Amen. What a thing, man. That's first person Bartimaeus saw. Amen. Prior to this moment, everything for him had just been darkness. His normal was black. Amen. It'd be hard to imagine living in total blackness. Amen. But I want to say tonight to you that darkness describes an unsaved person's spiritual condition. Amen. Zacharias was told prior to John the Baptist's birth in Luke 1 and verse 79 to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And we're sure enough in the shadow of death. And the Bible says we got an appointment with death. Amen. And death passed upon all men for all its sin. But I'm telling you what, I'm waiting my turn, but I ain't in darkness while I'm waiting. Right. Are you saved tonight? Amen. Amen. And so Zechariah's commission, amen, preceding being the voice of Christ in the wilderness was to bring light. He was to introduce the true light, according to John, chapter 1. Amen. Listen, in Acts 26, Paul is giving his testimony to King Agrippa, amen, before being sent to Rome. And he's been granted permission to speak for himself. He was happy about that. He's on trial. He's in chains. He's defending himself, and it's worthy of note that in verse 2 of Acts 26, he says, "I think myself happy." In that situation, he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And in this scenario, where Paul is literally never a free man again, he says, "I think myself happy." Why? He's getting ready to give his testimony of how he met the Lord Jesus Christ, about how he got his sins forgiven. He's giving it to King Agrippa and Festus and all that are within the sound of his voice. And buddy, I'll tell you what, that made him happy. I know Christians that would tell you that they are saved, and I don't doubt they are, but they can't seem to think themselves happy on a good day. Yes. I think that's a personality disorder, if you ask me. Amen. Because on my worst day, this side of trusting Jesus Christ, I got one thing that I am thrilled to death about. Amen. Amen. You ought to feel the same way. And I'm not saying this is not some phony baloney pie in the sky walking around with a big grin on your face like we don't have problems. We do have problems. But if you're saved in here tonight, there's one problem you don't have. And it's the biggest problem at all. And when Paul's talking to King Agrippa in Acts 26, he goes on to describe his commission. After he tells how he got saved, he tells what God's called him to do. And in verse 18, he says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Amen. And from the power of Satan unto God. Yes. And beloved, tonight Satan has the power to cause people to think they're okay when they're not okay at all. When they're actually, literally, in spiritual darkness. If you've done any personal work, and you guys are pretty good at that from what I hear, you've handed somebody a gospel tract, tried to hand somebody a gospel tract and had this response: "I'm okay." Yeah. I've had some nasty responses too, but I'm going to tell you what, nobody is okay. You could be the best person in town, the nicest, the kindest, the most generous, amen, the most honest. You could be the best person in town. And until your sins are forgiven, you're not okay. Not in the long view. Not in the big picture. If there's any way you could get yourself to being okay, then why in the world did the Lord Jesus Christ have to go through what he went through, have to do what he did to make a way for sin to be forgiven? That book says Christ died for our sins. Because our sins were taking us to a devil's hell, taking us to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But God has a zero tolerance thing going on with heaven. And ain't no sin getting in there. Amen. Not one. Not the little ones. Amen. Zero. Which creates a serious problem for mankind. Because we're sinners. Some people are bigger sinners than others, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I'm talking about the ground indeed level at the cross of Calvary. Because every one of us needs what he went to the cross to make available to you. He don't make nobody get saved. He don't make nobody do nothing. But what a thing it is that he made it available to us, that he gave us an opportunity, like Brother Billy said the other night, that he made it possible for us to make the decision. To trust Christ. And all it involves is being honest with yourself. What do you mean? You need to admit to yourself you're a sinner. Quit thinking about, well, I've never done this and I've never done that. Quit thinking like that. That'll get you put in hell. Because when the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I'm reading my Bible right, Revelation chapter 22 will tell you that Jesus Christ is the glory of God. The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the glory thereof. So on your best day, friend, you've come short of him. You might be a better man than me. That probably wouldn't be that hard. But you're going to come short of Christ. And Christ knew you had a need, and Christ came down here to make a way for that need to be met. And he died on the cross, not so that you can go to heaven, not so you can join a church, not so you can have a good life. Although those are nice benefits of being a Christian. He went to that cross. The Bible said he died for our sins because sin was going to cost the ultimate penalty. Eternal death. Just like Christ provided eternal life, the antithesis is eternal death. I can't wrap my brain around that. Dying forever, tormented in flame, weeping, wailing, gnashing teeth, knowing that you didn't have to be there. That, well, but, or I'll think about it. I hear, I'm going to begin this journey. This journey starts at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, and it ends right there. This is the shortest journey in the world. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's not a very long way to go. But it's serious, and it's imperative. And before a person does that, they're under the power of Satan, because he has the power to cause people that are in darkness to think, I'm good. My Bible says there's none good.
Right.
It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds with them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel of Christ is that Christ died for our sins. Are you saved in here tonight?
Amen.
Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
Christ died for my sins. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, Christ died for your sins.
Amen.
That's the glorious gospel, because you can get saved. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Amen. Was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. This ain't our opinion. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, we're skipping right to page 4 now. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Say, you type them? If you ever saw my handwriting, you'd know. Amen. What page was that? Okay, we're done with that one anyway. I should have just left it down there. Amen. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, I'm saying this with all the kindness I can muster. Living in spiritual darkness describes you right now. And the good news is, the best news you're ever going to hear is that darkness can be turned to light by faith. Hey! Immediately, it says, immediately received his sight. Amen. And so number one, immediately he received his sight. Amen.
Amen.
Now where's our text? Where's our text? Verse 43. Now we're in Luke 18, verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. Amen. Mark's account in chapter 10 of verse 52 says it like this. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. But wait a minute. Jesus said, go on your way. He didn't do it, did he? He didn't go on his way. He began to follow Jesus. In his way, in the way Jesus was going. And I'll tell you what, and I've learned this to be true, and so have some of you, Lord Jesus Christ will change the direction of your life. Not just your soul, he'll do that, that's what it's about. But he'll change the direction of your life. But guarantee you, I was headed a different direction. Amen. Before I got saved. And I'm talking about in this life. And the Bible said he followed Jesus in the way. And he did not follow Jesus to see what he's going to do next. All of a sudden now he'd heard of him. He heard of Jesus Christ. That's why he recognized when they said it was Jesus of Nazareth. He said, have mercy on me, the son of David. And so he'd heard of him. Christ's fame preceded him. He probably heard of the miracles. He probably heard of some healings. Amen. And things like that. Now he's got it on in himself. And wow, I mean, wouldn't that be something? And he's not following Jesus to see what he's going to do next. Because that would be quite a sight. People did. People followed him all over. Some of them were just hungry. Some of them wanted to see a miracle. Someone wanted a miracle done for a loved one or a sick one or a dead one. And there's people that, again, the Bible refers to them as multitudes that followed you, but that is not why Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. He didn't follow Jesus to see what he might do for him personally, because actually he'd already done it, hadn't he? He had not only restored his sight, but he says, okay, you can go your way. But he didn't. He followed Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. He didn't say, well, I better stick with this guy because I've been blind all this time and he just healed me. And if I don't follow him, maybe I'll go blind again. He didn't follow him for that reason either. And I say that, say this. Worrying about losing your salvation. Yeah. You know, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that'd be me, you, yes, whosoever believe in him should not perish. But have. Now, I don't know about you, but I looked that word up. I mean, I went to the old Webster's 1828 and I looked everlasting up because there seemed to be some confusion about its definition. And you know what I came up with? You with me? You know what it means? It means everlasting. That is so deep.
Yeah.
Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does that mean? It means eternal. How can you lose something that's everlasting? I'm saying that to say this. I know people that are saved and they got no confidence and they got no security and they're going through life wondering if something they're going to say or did do has cost them their name out of the book of life.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you something, man. That is a bondage.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Bible says he's not given up the spirit of fear. Amen. That is a bondage Jesus Christ never intended anybody to have.
Right.
Amen. And a whole lot of people think that that's the way it is. And hey, you're welcome to your own opinion, but me, I'm going to stick with what the book says. He didn't follow Jesus to see what he'd do next. He didn't follow Jesus Christ to get in on something. He'd already got it, man.
Yes.
He didn't follow him because he was afraid if he didn't, you know. He followed him because of what he had already done. Because he had healed him. Amen. That book says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
Now, in light of Christ going to the cross, dying, taking your sins to hell,
yes,
and rising and going to, in light of what he did for you, It's pretty reasonable. Sounds reasonable.
Yes.
Amen. Sounds reasonable that if you're sitting here tonight, that it'd be reasonable for you to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And, amen. Bartimaeus followed him out of gratitude, as should you and I. A song that grips my heart, Brother Billy's referred to the importance of making a decision. And that song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," is the second best decision I ever made in my life. Amen. I got saved. That was the best. Amen. But in light of the fact that, you know, I got told the Lord, everything I'm good at is illegal. I'm hanging out with these guys, and he lets me. Amen. I decided, and it's a decision, because he won't make you. He never made anybody follow him. Amen. But it's the best decision you'll ever make after getting saved. Bartimaeus did.
Yes.
How many of you did?
Amen.
I did.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Bible says, he immediately received his sight, and he followed him. Everybody doesn't, but they should. I'm glad I did. Now the verse goes on. Now we're in verse 43. "And immediately he received his sight and followed him." It says, glorifying God.
Amen.
Glorifying God. Immediately, yeah. They couldn't shut him up. They couldn't shut him up before he was healed.
Right.
I mean, he just heard Jesus and he cried out the more.
Yes, he did.
You know nobody's shutting him up now. That Bible said he's glorifying God, and I can see with the loud voice, he is crying out, "Thank you, God." It said he cried out so much the more, and he was excited about receiving his sight. Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Amen. But it makes sense. But yet many people that I met that claim to be saved, they don't glorify Jesus Christ. In their life, they don't glorify him. They might even come to church. They might even give. Amen. They might even have a list of things they don't do. But to say, does your testimony include bringing honor and glory to Jesus Christ? No. You know why? You know why some Christians aren't living a life that glorifies Jesus Christ? Because, you know why they're not as excited about being saved as they should be? Because they're excited about something else.
Yeah. Yes.
Because everybody, I mean, unless you're a, you know, a bump on a log, I don't know where that came from, but that's creepy. Amen. I mean, everybody gets excited about something.
Right.
So this guy's excited about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm excited about Jesus Christ. That Bible said he glorified God. And beloved, I got news for you. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing. 1 Corinthians 6. Go ahead and turn there. You need to look at this one. Probably need to look at all of them, but I get going and I don't slow down and take my eyes shut. I should drag this out for an hour and a half and you'd think I'm a lot smarter than I am, but amen. Some of you wouldn't be fooled. Amen. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. I like this. This is Paul's way of saying, duh. Not really. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Are you saved tonight?
Amen.
Well, that's who he's talking to.
Yes.
He's talking to believers in a New Testament church, people saved the same way you are. Amen. And then it goes out and says, "For ye are bought with a price."
Amen.
We know the price, don't we?
Yes.
You know, according to Acts chapter 20 and 20, verse 28, the price was the blood of God.
Amen.
You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God.
Amen.
In your body. In your body and in your spirit. And he reminds us again, which are God's. Amen. There's two parts. Now we're supposed to go. Bartimaeus, it says, glorify God. We should glorify God according to Paul. That's Pauline, gun barrel, New Testament doctrine, right to us. And we're to glorify God because we've been bought with a price. We know the price. We're not our own. Amen. The Holy Spirit moved in. We belong to God, not just on Sunday, not just on Friday through the following Sunday, every year. Hey, listen, you're bought with a price. You're saved every single day. You're a child of God every day. You don't get no days off.
Amen.
We're supposed to glorify God, and He puts it to you in a way you can understand it, because He did something for you no one else could do.
Amen.
You sure couldn't do, for yourself. And He says, glorify God in your body. That means where you go.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure God is pleased you're at church tonight. And many of you I've been seeing for like... Billy's not counting, but I am. Amen. We've been here a couple nights in a row. Praise the Lord. You know what? That pleases God, because it was God that told us we're supposed to do this, not forsake the assembling of ourselves. So, amen. Well, where you go, but that also means like, you know, when off days, when you're not in church, this where you go glorify God? Do you even think about it like that? Because I'm trying to get you to. Amen. What you do, you're not your own.
Amen.
What you do ought to glorify God. What you talk about needs to glorify God.
Amen.
And that doesn't mean you can't enjoy other things. That doesn't mean that. But you better think about doing anything that would bring reproach to God. Right. You're not allowed to do that. Ever, any scenario, mad, doesn't matter.
Right.
You're supposed to be thinking about that. We're all guilty of it sometimes, but I'm trying to point something out to you tonight. Amen. What you talk about, what you think about, you're to glorify God in your body. Amen. You need to glorify God when it comes to what you look at on the internet.
Amen.
How about that? That's where we kind of sneak off and think nobody's looking. Seriously? Doesn't the Bible say the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get you to think tonight. Amen. It says we're to glorify God in our body. And I'm going to say it to the ladies again. Does how you dress glorify God? Or incite lust in men?
Yep.
We're to glorify God.
Yes.
He deserves it. We're not our own.
No.
We're to think about that.
Yes.
Because we belong to Him.
Yes, we do.
And truth of the matter is, most Christians in this day and age, they ain't thinking like that.
No.
I wouldn't be thinking like that if I didn't see it in the Bible. And if you ever thought, I read it and now it's part of my... No, I have heard preaching over... That's why we have to preach.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says preaching is the word, is the power of God. Because your flesh don't care about this stuff. Your flesh is not interested in setting its affections on things above. But God is, and you're supposed to glorify God. This isn't some concept. I didn't find a self-help book.
Amen.
Well, I kind of did. to come up with this concept, you know, it's right there, man. Bible believer.
Amen.
You know, there's some things we don't have in common. But the main thing we do. But we gotta act according. I mean, there's more to just being a Bible believer.
Yes.
We need to be Bible practicers.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so glorify God in your body. Amen. But it says, and in your spirit. And so it says, in Galatians 5, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Physical sins, obviously, that I mentioned, and without getting as specific as I could have, defile the flesh. But what about pride? What about envy? What about bitterness? What about covetousness? What about envy? Those things defile the spirit. Does your spirit, in other words, does your attitude glorify God? You know, when you get your own way... What about when you don't?
Right.
What about when things don't go the way you wanted them to?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, my Bible doesn't have an exception.
Right.
This isn't based on how you feel. It's based on what you do with what God said.
Yeah.
We're supposed to glorify. Bartimaeus, it makes a point to put it in there that immediately received his sight. Are you saved?
Yes.
Did you embark on a process to get saved? Did you go to a class for 12 weeks? I mean,
amen.
Like I say, you get saved, you put your faith. For by grace you'll be saved through faith.
Yes.
You put your faith and trust in Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That Bible says, thou shalt be saved. I was dealing with Marco last night. I said, that book says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that you're part of it, you confess to God you're a sinner. And it says, believe in thine heart. That's your part. You have to do that. You have to understand that if everybody in the history of the human race was going to heaven except you, Christ would have went to that cross just for you, personal. He would have said, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive her. Amen? Praise the Lord. Our part. Acknowledge that we're sinners.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be hard.
Amen.
Our part, grasp the fact. The Bible said, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. This isn't a religious thing.
Yeah.
It's a heart thing.
Amen.
So we'll do that. Our part. There's three parts. Two of them are ours. Confess, believe. The last one's God. He does the saving. And it says, thou shalt be saved. And I said, Marco, I said, did you do this? He goes, yes. I said, do you believe that? He said, yes. I said, well, if you did your part, God will do his part.
Yeah,
oh, buddy, every single time.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn this in seminary. I learned this in a jail cell. Cause that's where I called on him. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't no more saved now than I was then.
Amen.
Amen. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. If you're in here and you are saved, probably many of you are. Most of you.
Yeah.
Some of you? Okay. Well, you know, praise the Lord. And we get, you know, wound up singing and worshiping and glorifying. No, no. This is just practice. What we learn here from the Bible and from the fellowship and from the good example from our older Christians and things like that, it's supposed to dictate how we conduct ourselves on the other side of those doors. In every place, every way, every family gathering, at work, at the grocery store, at Lowe's, wherever. You follow me? I got that right? I think I got that right. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
Bartimaeus glorified God in his body. I mean, he's vocal. He's thanking God. He's glorifying God in his spirit too, because he follow Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And so should you. You should.
Yes.
You should glorify God.
Yes.
In your body.
Yes.
And if you're saved. Now if you're not, you don't have to. You can just be religious one day a week, 2 days a week. You know, you can do it any way you want. If you want full control over your life and you can just, you know, talk about Jesus when it's convenient for you and you want to read a poem or a plaque or a, you know, or watch a YouTube video when it's, you know, you feel like it, you can have total control. But I'm going to tell you what, you die without Jesus Christ, you'll bust hell wide open.
Yes, amen.
And you ever get a hold of this thing, what Christ did, it'll change your heart.
Yes.
And you get around other believers and you spend some time in that book and you'll find out this is the best life.
Amen.
Hey, I got a million regrets, boy. I didn't get saved till I was almost 38 and I got a million regrets. But getting saved ain't one of them. And getting in ain't one of them either. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. And if you are, you need to live like it. Amen. All right, believers. Jesus Christ gave him his sight. I don't even want to say restored. I don't know if he ever had it. But he got his sight. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can imagine that. We can picture that. What a thing that would be. We try to put it in perspective. But let's face it, man. What Jesus Christ did for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, getting your sight back pales in comparison to getting your sins forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. And so he immediately received his sight. And number one, and followed him. And number three, glorified him. Then it says this, and all the people, when they saw it, they saw it. They got to see something. And when they saw it, gave praise unto God. People noticed when things change. I'll be driving around this city and I'll see a couple guys in suits on bicycles from the back. I know where they're going to have the name tag on. Amen. Amen. And they're out there, could be out there knocking on doors and trying to do their best job at trying to sell whatever they're selling. And I've been in neighborhoods where there'll be a lot of times it's two women walking down there with their little briefcase full of watchtowers and they're knocking on doors and they got their little pitch. But you know what? The greatest witness to the reality of what we're talking about is? You know what we got going for us that no religion can give anybody? That Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Now, nobody else claims to do that because nobody else can do that. Amen.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when things change, people notice. Amen?
Amen.
And these folks noticed. And they noticed about Bartimaeus. He wasn't shy. Amen? And they need to notice in your life. Not just... Listen, so many Americans go to church every Sunday. That doesn't intimidate anybody. That doesn't bother anybody. That doesn't even raise an eyebrow. Amen?
Yep.
But parking lot full of cars for 10 days in a row probably causes somebody to wonder if what's going on. But we don't even do that as much as we maybe should or could. I don't know. But you go to work, you go to school, you go wherever you go. And when you walk out them doors, you are a living epistle. You need to be mindful of that. I'm just provoking. Yet I didn't say one thing tonight. I haven't said one thing this week you didn't already know.
Amen.
Just to remind you.
Amen.
All right. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's land this plane. I heard a preacher say that. We're going to land the plane. And I thought, I was a paratrooper. I don't know how to land a plane. I jump out at 1,200 feet. So get ready. Who's the pilot? Who's the next pilot? Brett, you get ready. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Don't you just love that part? Amen.
Amen.
That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
If you're saved in here, that describes it pretty good.
Amen.
You were in darkness. And now you're not. Now you're into his marvelous light. Again, he's the true light.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So there's a reason. And the reason's in the passage. It said that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. And show them to who? Show them to people that are still in darkness.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Amen. There's people out there that need to know what you take for granted.
Yes.
Amen. We're all guilty.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So I'm going to wrap it up with three questions real quick. Are you saved?
Yes.
Maybe somebody in here is still in spiritual darkness. There's a remedy for that. And you're in the right place. Because we will take a few minutes because that's all it takes.
Amen.
We say, I heard preachers say, we'll set aside the will stay as long as it wants. And people that are not saved, they're going, I've already been an hour, man. I don't want to be. Yeah, I tell you what, you can get saved in 5 minutes. If you're honest with God, now we're not going to spend an hour contending with you. But if you've got an honest question, you've got a legitimate question, you want to know how you can apply what that book says to you, that's easy. Because we're not going to go into a big detail. Well, this is what we think. No, I'll tell you what we think. We think we're glad God made it simple. And we got in on it because it's simple, and you need to get in on it too. And you can. Amen. If you're not saved, we will, when Brother Brett comes, he'll tell you. If you are saved. All right. Are you saved? Many of you said, yeah. If you are, let me ask you another question. Are you following him? You should be. Amen. If you're not, who are you following?
Amen.
You're following somebody. Somebody's got your attention. Something's got your affection. If it isn't the Lord, I hope it's not some internet kook. Oh, we hear stuff traveling, boy. We hear stuff preachers are dealing with. Some of their people are spending time looking at stupid. It would be stupid. It'd be ridiculous if it wasn't damnable.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll get people. I don't even want to say Christian. They might be. Because Christians do some dumb stuff. Could I get a witness?
Amen.
Come up and say, Brother Spurgeon, you ever heard about this? I had a guy in Minneapolis last year. And I said something about conspiracies, and I think I might have mentioned this flat earth thing. So if that's you, don't raise your hand. So a guy, when I get done, he's a young Christian, he was real nice, and he said, I'm introducing myself to people I don't know, just like I do here, and he says, Brother Persian, I have a disagreement with you. And I said, okay, all right, so does my wife, a lot. I said, what's up? He said, I believe the earth is flat. He really believed that. And I didn't say, look at this idiot. So if you're prone to be that way, don't. And I said, really? He goes, yes. And I said, okay, all right. Show me the verse. Show me a verse.
Amen.
Where are you getting it? Amen. And he had a verse. Well, he said, I don't know where it is. Listen, before you go to a preacher with a thing you're trying to make a doctrine, have the verse memorized. Because he heard something, you know, that he liked. So I said, well, will you find the verse and we'll talk about it. And I just, you know, and he found it. I'm talking to somebody else. And of course, I forget that everybody's got their computer in their pocket. And he comes up with a verse in Job about a seal. And I looked it up. I found it. But he showed it to me on his phone. And a seal was flat. You know, what they did with them. Sealed official communiques. And he showed me that. See, seal is flat. And I think it says something about clay and like what a stretch. And I said, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not what that means. Of course, obviously, right? But I said, I'll tell you what you do. If that's what that means, there will be another verse. Because we believe that you compare scripture with scripture and you don't make a doctrine out of an obscure passage. That's how every cult in the world got started. By taking a Bible verse and perverting it. You guys have rattlesnakes out here? In West Virginia, they play with them. And they'll give you a verse for it. Amen. I don't go there. And I said, when you find a verse to go with that, he never did. But that's the kind of stuff that's going on. You need to spend more time in your Bible and less time. You follow me?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my secret. Because I'm just as, oh man, I'm probably more quickly deceived. Look at that mess I got into, all the things I did. Amen. Yeah. So I've decided the way I keep my flesh under control so I don't get roped into some foolishness. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
That's what keeps me safe. Amen.
Amen.
That works for you too.
Amen.
All right. So that was number two. I know I have another question because I'm an evangelist. This is what we do. Here we go. Does your life, now just be honest and don't raise your hand. Does your life, obviously you're here. Many of you have been here every night. Does your life glorify God?
Yes.
Just be honest. All the things I've already said it, or is it all about you? Because we live in the me age. Social media, that's what it is. This is what I think. This is who I am. You're not supposed to glorify yourself. You're supposed to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Bartimaeus, not a lot said about him, but boy, actually a lot said about him. There's things there that he got a hold of that I want to get a hold of.
Amen.
And the first and foremost thing Jesus said to him, thy faith hath saved thee. And faith will save you. And nothing else will.
Amen.
Cleaning up your act won't do it.
Amen.
Getting victory over bad habits won't do it. But faith in what Christ did for you makes a way for you to get your sins forgiven. And then you're going to have other things in life, but you won't have to worry about that one anymore.
Amen.
You listen to Brother Brent. You sing if it's time to sing. But if you need to talk to God, if you need to pray about something that's been said, wherever, do that first. People will take, let's switch, get right to the song service to get the heat off. I don't want the heat off. You shouldn't either. If the Lord's dealing with you, let's get serious.
Amen.
You tell them what to do if they're not saved.
Amen.
I'm going to go over by that back wall. You send them back there.
I will.
If you want to.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, there's always different parts of a meeting. We have prayer meetings. Part of the meeting can be prayer, can be singing, special music, preaching. But you know, this can be the most important part of the meeting where you make a decision. And it's so important that when the Word of God has touched your heart and you've heard it, and you may be kicking against the pricks, or there may be something that the Lord has dealt with you, it's time to make a decision. That's what this part of the meeting is all about, to make a decision. One time a lady had an affliction of blood, and she went and touched Jesus, and she was in the midst of a multitude, and Jesus just stopped the whole procession and said, "Who touched me?" Who touched me? Have you reached out and touched the Lord, or has the Lord reached out and touched you?
Yes.
Then it's time for you to make a decision.
Amen.
And we don't believe in hiding our decisions.
Right.
Jesus stopped the whole parade and said, "Who touched me?" And so if the Lord has touched you, and if you got a hold of the Lord and you need to make a decision, you need to make that public.
Yes.
Make that public. And we have people here, Brother Dave's in the back. If you're not saved, boy, that is an important thing for us around here. We want to make sure you're saved. The Lord did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to save them.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you're like me, some 45 years ago, a young lady asked me, "Brent, are you saved?" And I just looked at her like, you know, like a deer sees the headlights. And I did not have the foggiest idea what she was talking about. But I asked a very important question. What is that, and how do I get saved? I don't know what it is. And she opened up the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And that's what we want to do. If you're not saved, or you have some doubts about what salvation is, or you're maybe a little bit confused, and you'd like to know, there are plenty of people here. Brother Dave's waiting for you in the back already. He'll open up the Bible and show you what it means to be saved and how you can be saved, because Christ died for you. And maybe you're a believer, and the Lord said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Maybe you need to make that decision. "I'm going to follow you." And I'd say, "Well, wait, Lord, you know, I got to bury my father and I got to go back and say farewell." He says, "Follow me. Let the